And we're live. Welcome back to Care Tarek. And whoop, I'm going to do it again. Welcome back to Care Tech and Tips with Bobby and Barry. What you got going on today, Bob?
Well, we got a lot going on. So one of the things I know we're going to talk about is how to limit spam calls on your phone. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And there's lots of ways to do that, both on app on iOS and for Android.
Cool.
And then, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. It's called iOS 18. And it's got some new features that you're going to like. So we're going to definitely talk about some of that and how that works. There's some really cool stuff for sharing screens that are really very nice.
Good deal. Long time
waiting for it. So you now
looking
can
forward to that. That is a godsend.
Yes, it is. And so I think we're going to have some good fun here as we talk about some features.
That's great. And gosh, yeah, so all those things are going to be good. I think we're also going to talk a little bit about how to maybe make phones easier for your loved ones. iPhones and Android phones are lovely, and if you're of the digital age, you get it, and you just, you know, use it as best you can. But some of our older folks don't really get it because they grew up on a wired phone or a feature phone, some people call it a dumb phone. But I like to call it a feature phone instead. And there's ways now in both platforms to take a super smartphone and kind of make it a little bit more accessible for people who didn't grow up with smartphones. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And I'd like to talk a little bit about banking. I think Bobby's actually going to talk about that a little more than I am. And there's go ahead.
When is it time to take control and maybe for your loved one that you're caregiving for, offer more than just casual assistance? Maybe it's time for you just to look banking accounts and make sure they're running well. What's some tips about that? You know, there are different types of ways of payment. It's not just a check anymore. So what's the right way for doing that? You know, we'll talk a little bit of the differences between Zelle and Cash App and Venmo and why you should use one over the other. I think we got some good opportunities there. We're also going to talk about when it's time to upgrade phones, too. Technology moves fast, slows down for no one. And sometimes that iPhone 7 needs to go.
Sometimes it does. And before we get going with all of the good tech stuff, I've got another little thing I'd like to talk about that really came from something that I ran into this week. I ran into a problem where my dad had an issue. He gave me a call, and I do like I usually do. I think it's something that is both important and urgent. And I think it's something that needs to be taken care of. And the short of it is that I took care of the problem and I helped him find a solution. But I found out later that it really wasn't all that urgent. As much as he thought it was urgent at the beginning, at the outset of it, later on, when I solved the problem, I realized it really wasn't that urgent for him after all. So we'll talk a little bit about a way to kind of help you think about requests from your loved ones and how to kind of frame those in a way so you're not as stressed out about them, but you're able to handle them in a way that kind of helps you keep good humor about it, if that makes any sense at all. So if you don't mind, hey, I think I'll get started with that one. Does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So here's something to think about. So I know you probably out there have run into this situation before where you got a loved one who's got a problem and maybe they're living alone. You're trying to help them from a distance and you think every call that comes in when they have a problem or they need help with something, you feel like I got to solve this right now because, you know, they need me. I really got to help them out. But you can do that and that's great, but there's some negative effects to that. You start to feel like you're on deck all the time, that you can't relax. And there's an element of giving an expectation that you are on call and available for everything at any time of the day or night.
Yep.
I know you understand that.
Oh yeah. And so they're just like everything else, you need to have a context, a set of rules that you follow. Even if you don't tell the loved one what you're doing, in your own head, you need to realize, okay, there are some things that are important, the things that are not important, things that are urgent, things that not urgent. And you can actually form a matrix. And I know you're getting ready to talk about this, that helps you figure out what you should do first, what you should schedule, and what you should might not do at all.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. And it's funny, this week I ran into maybe two or three different conversations and meetings that I had for, you know, my side job. And in those, we all talked about forming up these matrices or matrices to help you figure out the right answer for a problem and how to go about solving those things. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And it's called the Eisenhower Matrix. And it came from Dwight D. Eisenhower back in, I guess, the 50s or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was around the 50s. And he had a saying, he said, you know, most important things aren't necessarily urgent. And he said, you know, most urgent things aren't necessarily important. So he formed up a way of thinking that came to be known as the Eisenhower Matrix. And if you think about it this way, let's say you've got a vertical axis that's over here on the left, and at the bottom you have not important. And right above that, you have important. And then at the top, you've got this horizontal axis that at the top left-hand corner up here, you have urgent. And in the top right-hand corner, you have not urgent. So that kind of gives you four quadrants, right? So if you've got four quadrants of the things where you can drop a task or you can drop a problem or something or a request or something like that and help you think about it. So here's a way to think about this thing. So if you've got something that comes in from your mom, your dad, your loved one, and they, oh my God, my phone's broken. I don't know why it won't connect to Bluetooth in my car. I automatically go toward, okay, I know how to solve that problem. That's a technical thing. There's three or four things it could be. Let's see if we can help them out. Well, that might be one of those things that you just need to step back and ask these questions about. Is it important? It is. I'm sure it's important to them. Is it urgent? Maybe not, because they're talking to you on the phone. They were able to pull that off somehow. So maybe that's not all that urgent. Maybe that's something you could get back to later. So back to where I was, I digress. Let's talk about the quadrants and how that might fit in. So here's an example, like we were just saying, we got something that it's important, especially to them, but it's maybe not all that urgent. There's a quadrant for that. That'd be your top right-hand quadrant in the important and not urgent quadrant. Those things that fit into that important and not urgent quadrant are things that you should schedule. You should put them on a to-do list. You should put them on a calendar. You might even say to your loved one, you know, I tell you what, right now I'm at the grocery store. I can't solve that for you right now. I know how to do this, but let me call you back at 5 o'clock tonight. And let's work on that. So you've scheduled this not urgent, important task. Now, what if I tell you what? Give me an example of a very very important, very urgent thing that you've had in the last week or two.
Yep. Well, hey, I think my money's gone.
Yeah, that'll wake you up big time. Big time. And I know you're going to go into that a little bit more later. So but we're going to use that one. Yeah. To me, that sounds like it's very important. It has a lot to do with money and banking, and it's urgent. Oh my goodness. My money is gone. So there's a quadrant for that in the Eisenhower Matrix. It's the top left one. It is the important and urgent stuff. And those are things that you need to deal with right now.
Right.
So if it comes in and you've thought about it for a second and it's like, yep, that's urgent and important, do it. Do it right now. That do it quadrant is for tasks with deadlines or consequences. And in your case, there's definitely deadlines and there's definitely consequences on that one. So yeah.
Amen. As opposed to, I have to do my taxes for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important, but that's not that urgent. So we can put that on a calendar somewhere or a to-do list. We'll get to that eventually. So that falls back into the top right-hand schedule section. All right, well, what about things that are not important, but they're urgent? So some small thing that needs to get done. Oh, my goodness, the trash needs to get taken out this morning because it's trash day and the bins need to be rolled out to the curb. Yeah, that's kind of urgent, and we maybe forgot to do that, but it's not that important, probably, in the long run. It would be okay if it didn't get done.
Another good one is I need to get the mail.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, so the quadrant for that in the Eisenhower Matrix is the delegate quadrant. These are tasks that must get done, but they don't require your specific skill set to do. So it might be you call a neighbor to help you out with that. You call somebody who's nearby to help with that sort of thing. So delegate that. And one good thing about that is if you delegate it, maybe make your own self a note to go back and make sure that it got done.
Follow-up's important.
Follow-up is important. And really, the follow-up is a not urgent but important thing that could kind of go on your list if you think about it. So,
Schedule.
All right, exactly. So that only leaves one more quadrant, right? So far we've dealt with important and urgent, important and not urgent, and not important and urgent. So that leaves us not important and not urgent. Don't do them. That's the answer right there. They are distractions and they are unnecessary. So don't do them. Overall, I think if you think about these kind of questions and problems that come in this way, it might in some way cause you a little bit less stress or, you know, let you relax, let your shoulders down a little bit. So something that's been relevant to me in this last week or so with several different meetings and conversations I've having, but I thought, you know, this really applies to caregiving too. So I wanted to share that with everybody. I hope that's something that you can take and kind of help give yourself some stress relief with.
You know, and it doesn't always have to be with caregiving. I know we're Care Tech and Tips, but guess what? You can use this for delegation if you're doing it at your job, for your own list that you need to go through. Maybe you're having a conversation with a younger child about what you do. So this matrix works for a lot of things.
And, 100%. There's also a good website out there called www.eisenhower.me. We'll leave a link in the show notes for that to go and learn more about that and to learn about how people are using that matrix to help out with their own stuff. All right. So that was a quick one, but one I wanted to get out there. It was urgent and important to me to be able to get that to you guys. So we took care of it. All right, Mr. Clark, let's talk some tech.
So we want to hit that banking thing since we kind of segued in it into a little bit. So
absolutely. Go for it.
All right. So first of all, in those tasks that are come up, and these are probably important, I would stress to you making sure that as you begin to start your caretaking journey with your loved one, one of the most important things you need to do is to make sure you understand where their money is and how they use it. So Do they have enough checks to write whatever they need to write? How do you get to their banking online? Do they trust you for that? Because one of those things to do and when that question comes and my money's gone, is if you haven't prepared for that, that can be a really stressful question.
Yeah, I can think like your heart would jump out of your chest at that point when you heard that on the phone.
So you almost have to think about, well, what would happen if they came to me and asked that question, and what would I do? And do some prep. Where does your mom bank? Where does your father bank? What accounts do you have? Is there a list of all of them? How do you get to them? That kind of thing. So having that conversation when you're at the point, and we all know where I'm talking about, well, hey, it's getting a little more difficult to manage those things. And so you need to step in and really have a conversation. It doesn't mean you take over. It doesn't mean you keep them from doing stuff. But it does mean that when they're calling frantic about my money's gone, you can say, no, it's not. I see it right here. And so you want to have that kind of talk beforehand to make sure that you could have that answer if you needed to. And that might mean sitting down with your parent, your elder one, and saying, okay, well, how do you know where things are? What do you do? What do you pay for? Where's your schedule? That kind of thing. So again, that kind of Allison prevention can really save you a lot of stress in the end. And so I'm speaking from experience on this. definitely have that conversation. Even if you never use it, even if you never need it, it's better to have and not need, and need and not have. So,
yeah, for real. For real. And you know, it's, you bring up some good ideas here too. In that same vein with banking, it's a good idea, like you said, to know what the incomes and the outflows are from their bank account, just to kind of keep an eye on, are they accumulating or are they depleting those accounts? And, you know, are they in good shape? Do they need to make a change, or do you need to help them make a change about how they're spending money or where it's going? And to do that, you kind of got to get in there and look around. Once you have that information, it's fairly easy to make a quick little budget document that'll show you the inflows and the outflows, and kind of help them understand if they don't already. In my case, my dad, he never really paid a bill. My mom handled all that. So I helped him get an idea of what the outflows were and the incomes were. And that's been a good picture for us to rely on for that sort of thing. That's huge.
I'll tell you the other thing that comes to mind when you do this is making sure that they're not doing things out of habit that take time and effort where they don't need to. You know, everybody knows we got automatic draft on a lot of things.
Yep.
You need to start setting that stuff up. So, you know, if paying the water bill and paying the power bill, that doesn't always mean that they have to pull out a check, write the check, send the check. You know, we in this day and age, automatic draft is your friend. You want to make sure you spend that as much as you can.
It is. Now, I'm going to offend some people with this. I'm going to tell you it's a controversial subject. So I'm going to go ahead and lay that out.
All right.
Here it goes. You don't have to balance your checkbook every month.
Well, yep, this is true.
I'm just saying, you don't have to do it. It's going to be okay. If there's a way to look at your bank account every day and know what's going on with it, and you're maybe not writing all that many checks, probably it's going to be close enough. It's my opinion. Again, I'm probably going to get all kind of hate mail about that.
Yeah, and we know the generation we're all doing the caregiving with, they like to have pieces of paper in their hands. And sometimes paperless is best, especially since you have very sensitive data on paper all over the place. You know, every banking routing number you have. So, you know, consider, you know, turning some of that stuff off. Lots of people actually give discounts for you to get to go paperless, to actually give discounts for you to do automatic drafts. And you ought to think about that, especially if money is not the issue. Now I get it. If you don't have enough to stretch, and now you got to, that's a different problem.
Yeah.
But if you do, set that stuff up so you know it's getting taken care of, so you know it's all right. And sometimes too, you know, we get services for my mom. My mom has a lot of things that people do for her, and she's very used to writing checks for them. And, you know, that's okay when 20 years ago, that's okay 10 years ago. Not so okay now, because most people look at a check and don't even know what it is. So explore the idea of things like Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, which are all, Zelle's available on most online banking anyway, and most people can take it with downloading an app. I know Cash App has some difficulties if you're doing more than a certain amount of money, and you need to be careful about that. But Zelle is pretty common, and paying people with those things like Venmo and Zelle is the new way of doing it. So if you're not familiar with it, get familiar with it. If you need to help your loved one get familiar with it, well, maybe y'all need to have that conversation.
Yes, yeah. The goal is to make it easier for everybody and do it in a safe and secure way. And you know, it's hard to get across this, but that piece of paper that has your banking routing number and your account number on it, it's not good for those to just float around. So, you know, that's another thing too, right there. We used to not think about all that, but that's important information these days. And it's really easy to set up a bank draft with those pieces of information. So you don't want that getting in the wrong hands.
You know, some places will still send you a bill and say, hey, it's going to be drafted out. Here's how much it is. Or to send you a notification and say, we're about to take out this money. So there's lots of ways for you to still be notified about things.
Yeah, for sure.
So don't be scared of that.
And one other aspect of it too is just a small one is that the checks are expensive. Like the actual printed books of checks, they used to be free. Now they're very expensive to get sent to your house to do that. And I get it because that's a difficult printing problem actually. So if you can avoid having to do that as much, that's a good thing. So I know that you just recently installed iOS 18.
I did.
iPadOS 18 and Mac Sequoia and all that. And as y'all all know, we are Apple geeks and unabashed Apple geeks. And we like to talk about some of the things that are there. But there's a lot of cool things in these new versions of the operating systems that apply really well to our mission here to talk about making it a little bit easier to do caregiving. So tell me what you got, man.
Well, first of all, this is a subject that I'm sure we'll get into even deeper. And if you haven't heard the word TeamViewer, TeamViewer has been the gold standard for things when you try to share screens with your loved ones. And if you haven't done that before, you need to look into that. We'll have a podcast, I'm sure, really soon that talks about sharing in the whole scope of things. But finding a way to see people's screen instead of them having to describe their screen is, you know, life-changing for you as a caregiver. You really, really, really need to do that. But one of the things that's been a problem is doing that on this has been difficult.
And he's holding up an iPhone for those of you
who are holding up an iPhone.
You're listening.
But now there is a new sheriff in town. It's called iOS 18. And guess what? It has a feature. Features that you can share your screen, you can show them your screen, and you can see their screen. And
phone to phone. Not computer. Phone to phone.
iPad to phone. It works great. And when you actually point a button, you can actually draw a circle around it, point an arrow to it. You can actually annotate it in a way that shows that person what to do. Now,
that is amazing.
Most of you right now are having a commission fit if you've never heard this before. You're back on the phone going, how do I do this? Because you've been on the phone for an hour trying to teach your loved one how to take a camera shot or how to turn on the Wi-Fi or, how to place a call. So, or read their text message. And it's been 40 to 30 minutes trying to figure out where they're even looking at the screen. This can change your life. And so it's very easy to do. You go into FaceTime, and guess what? There's an option for you to actually say, I want to send my screen. I want to ask to see their screen. And it works really well. Now, the catch is your phone's got to be both at iOS 18, if you're an Apple, or the latest version of Android. Now, I think there are ways to do that, too. But so you have to be in a new place. And guess what? That means you might have to look at your phone to make sure you know what version of phone you have. But the really nice thing about that is if you get to the latest version, these features can save you lots of time. Lots of time.
Ah, man, I don't doubt that. But, you know, you actually bring a good point. So it's probably a good segue for this, too, is let's talk about that, about when is it time to upgrade your phone to get these new features versus leaving things as they were and trying not to change things, because that always seems to be a sticking point with some of the folks I know. It's like, why did they have to change the interface on this thing? I just got used to it. So what's your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of things. If there's a feature you want to get to the new phone, then you certainly want to start considering things like screen sharing. You might certainly want to make sure that you're at the same versions. The other thing that's really important, and both of us are both security geeks too, we think security is important, is when your phone stops updating, when you can't update it anymore. Now, I'm not talking about just you can't go from iOS 18 from iOS 17. I mean the system level patches stop coming. If that happens, it's time to get a new phone.
Yep.
And obviously, the other reason is it doesn't work. And I don't mean it just broke. I mean, say it doesn't hold a charge, or the screen is dim, or, a button doesn't work, or you can't see it because there's a big crack in the middle of it. You know, those are things you can do. And there's lots of ways to get you don't have to get a new phone, just a newer phone. You can go to places like Azelle.com and even to Apple and buy refurbished items and replace those items with newer versions of that so that they cost less and still have some of the features that you want. So, you know, you got an iPhone 7, we'll go to iPhone 11. There's plenty of them, and they're cheap. They're not that expensive. So look at your tech and make sure you realize that that sometimes keeping the old thing costs you more time and effort than it's worth.
And have that conversation with your loved one too. Is that it's not that I want you to have a brand new phone. It's a brand new expensive thing that in my case, I end up buying my dad his phone or some of my other relatives. I go ahead and pay for it because it can be a little jarring. And I thought I'd rather go ahead and buy it because it saves me more time and energy. And that is as important as cash. So, yes. Time and energy is just as important as cash when it comes right down to it. That's a big deal. So, that brings me to things like how do you deal with these major changes in interfaces for people? Like, how do you kind of help smooth that over?
You had a really cool idea. I think you should share with it. And it's actually it's a new feature that dumbs down the phone that I think is really cool. And maybe the actual answer when you're talking about phones and trying to not change it to people's situation. So you did a really cool thing, a test with it, and I think you should tell people about it.
Okay, so this is an Apple feature. It's called Assistive Access, and I'll be transparent with you. I know about the Apple version, but I also know that there is a version of this for Android phones, and it's as part of an app that you can download from the Google Play Store called Android Accessibility Suite. That's that version. But let's go back to Apple for a minute here. The thing that I tried is Apple Assistive Access. And generally what it does is it takes a smartphone and dials it down a little bit. A lot of our loved ones who are of a certain age grew up with a phone that was plugged into the wall. And then after that, they moved over to a cell phone. Some people call them feature phones, stuff that it was a cell phone that you could make a call on. You could do messages with it. You could maybe it had a camera so you could take photos. And that was about it, honestly. So to take a new phone with a lot of security features and a lot of the cool stuff that we like, and to put it in the hands of someone who grew up with these other pieces of technology or simpler pieces of technology, it can be jarring at times. So Assistive Access takes that smartphone and it turns it into a feature phone. It has huge buttons. You can limit what's even available. In the case, one of the examples I saw in a video about it was limiting the whole front face of the iPhone to like six buttons, that just six big buttons, one for calls, one for camera, one for messages, one for music, one for photos, and then like one for the weather. And even the weather might be a stretch. The interfaces for all of those things are simplified. If you decide to take a photo, there is a view through the camera lens and there's a great big button that says take a photo. And then there's a great big button that says back. Same thing with making phone calls and doing the other sorts of things like moving around in a photo gallery or things like that. Dead simple interfaces and kind of bulletproof. The other thing that is part of Assisted Access is really kind of limiting who can be called and who can call that phone. And there's adjustable things here that you can do, but you can limit it to only specific calls can be made, just a handful of them if you want, or only specific callers can call in. Or you can say anybody in the contact list can call in and you can call out to any of those. You can limit whether or not you want to show a keyboard to be able to dial numbers that you maybe don't have a contact for. You've got an option where you can turn that on and off. So it really just kind of tightens up the interface, makes it a whole lot easier for someone who didn't grow up in the digital world. And it also takes out the extra element there of getting calls from unknown callers and or accidentally calling folks that you don't need to be able to call and stuff like that. So I highly recommend it. Especially if you got some cognitive decline, it will keep them out of trouble and it will keep you from having to do so much work to support it.
Now, maybe you don't want to do that full blown interface and you just want to take one step. You want to make sure that calls that aren't necessary go straight to voicemail. there is a very easy step on iPhone and even on Android too. We got a couple of lists of show notes where you can make it so that if it's not in your contact list, it goes immediately to voicemail. There's a very simple item to check on iPhones to do that. And that allows you to control that kind of thing. So if you don't want to do the full thing with the interface, and that's really a cool thing to do, you should really look at it if you're interested. But if you want to try something just to help things, try that setting. That setting takes all of 5 seconds to do. And it will certainly help you do it. And I know Barry and I have been talking about how easy that is. And we don't live with our phones or not. We get a lot of extra calls on our phones. Yeah. And so that feature helps you.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I use that feature myself, and I helped a good friend of mine set that up in the past week to kind of put the kibosh on all of these political spam calls and Medicare and insurance company spam calls that are happening. It's nuts how many times a day that those kinds of things go out. And this is a neat little feature. It just sends them directly to voicemail. Your phone doesn't even ring. You might have got a notification that it happened, but that's it. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, what if I get a call from my doctor and it's a different phone number? Will it do that? Yes, it will. It'll send it to voicemail. But your doctor will leave a voicemail. These robocalls, these spam callers, these political calls, they're not going to leave a voicemail. So it was good to get them out of your face anyway. So there you go.
And if that important call leaves the voicemail and you don't want to do anymore, guess what? Put that number in your contact list and that won't happen anymore.
There you go. And even this too, it's fairly smart. If you have interacted with someone at that telephone number in the last little while, like say maybe you had a text message from someone who you didn't have their name in the contact list, but you knew who they were, the phone number was there, or you've made an outgoing call to say a doctor's office to, I don't know, an 800 number there or an odd number that you don't have in a contact list, it's smart enough to say, oh, he's already dealt with him before. We'll let that call come through. That's probably somebody who he really wants to talk to. So, I mean, it's really slick. And I'm sure that, like I said, Android versions of that are out there, I'm sure. And that's just something that can give you a whole lot less stress than dealing with these spam callers all the time.
Yeah, there's a very cool page that gives you 8 ways to do that on Android. And one of them I know is you can take the contact and you can set up whether it goes through or not. So if you have things you need to block, or if you want to whitelist it in one way or the other, you can do that too. So there's lots of options on Android too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I think there's one thing that I wanted to tell everybody. And I think I did this in one of the earlier little promos that I put out, but we have an email address now. Last episode, we were saying we were going to get one. And sure enough, we do. It is caretechandtips@gmail.com. That is caretechandtips@gmail.com. Feel free to send any kind of feedback, questions, or comments. We appreciate any of them. So send them on. That'd be great. Yep. And if you could, take a few minutes and tell your friends about this podcast or other people that you know who are in the same situation. We would love to have them to subscribe, share it any way you can. And if you get a chance and you're feeling the love, then give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcast or any of the rating services that come along with the podcast directories.
Please subscribe. Please subscribe.
Yep. So please like and subscribe. So really, I think we've covered our list today, haven't we, man?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we covered a lot of things. So, there will probably bring some more iOS 18 features when we get to use them and try them out. And, you know, Eisenhower Matrix makes good sense, not just for your caregiving, but lots of things out there. So, yeah, I think there's some cool stuff here. So, again, if you want to know about something, send us an email to that email address, and we'll pick it up and start doing some research and start talking about it.
100%. All right. I think that we're going to button it up for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back in a couple of weeks. Oh, that does remind me. I'm going to go ahead and say it one more time. We're going for a biweekly publishing schedule. We're going to come out on Mondays. I think the next one after this, well, I'm not sure when this will come out, but it'll be on a Monday, and we're going every other week, so biweekly. So we'll see you then. All right. Take care, y'all.
Take care.